Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
A five-year-old girl is dead, shot on the 4th of July. The man suspected of pulling the trigger is in custody. Why he will not face a judge today.
And we have another chance for storms this afternoon and evening. Some showers just starting to pop up. I'll show you when and where they'll be the most widespread coming up.
Plus, they haven't stepped into the ring, but Mark Zuckerberg is going toe-to-toe with Elon Musk, the new social media platform designed to challenge Twitter.
New information this noon about the man charged in yesterday's shooting that left a five-year-old girl dead and a 15-year-old girl seriously injured. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. 42-year-old Brian Lester is in custody in connection with this crime. WRAL's Monica Casey is live at the Durham County Courthouse. Monica.
Well, we were here in Durham County Court this morning for Lester's first appearance, but we were told by deputies that he's actually in medical isolation right now, and the earliest he'll be here in court will be tomorrow. Lester is charged with first-degree murder, attempted first-degree murder, and possession of a firearm by a felon. We are working to find out his relationship to the two girls who were shot yesterday. The 911 call on North Guthrie Avenue initially came in as an overdose call when police arrived. They found those two girls seriously injured, and that five-year-old died at the hospital. Now, within the last hour, Durham County Sheriff Clarence Burkhead has released a statement about this shooting, saying it's tragic and heartbreaking. He offered any support the sheriff's office can give to DPD during this investigation. He also says he is committed to finding out why this happened. Renee?
Monica Casey reporting live in Durham.
Police in New Bern are investigating a deadly shooting that claimed the life of a one-year-old girl. The toddler and a man were shot on the 4th of July. And WRAL's Ken Smith is here to walk us through how this happened, Ken.
Yeah, Jeff, this family is understandably devastated by this sad turn to this story. New Bern police confirming this morning one-year-old Nalani Sheptok died from her injuries after she was shot on the 4th of July. This happened at this home on LaGrange Street Tuesday night in New Bern. When officers arrived on the scene, they found Nalani and 22-year-old Nathan Sheptok suffering from gunshot wounds. Both Nalani and Nathan were transported to East Carolina Medical Center. The 22-year-old was treated and released, but Nalani was transferred to ECU Health Medical Center, where again she died from her injuries. New Bern police now say this is a homicide investigation. No word yet on a motive or who could be responsible. Jeff?
Ken, thanks for that sad update.
It's another steamy day across the triangle, but the clouds have at least provided some shade. Here's a live look at Apex right now. Meteorologist Kat Campbell joins us with the look at when those clouds could grow into storms. Kat?
We don't have any thunderstorms just yet on the dual Doppler 5000 radar, but we have had some quick showers popping up, mainly up in Warren County, a little closer to Lake Gaston. No lightning at this point, but once we get past about 1 o'clock, we could begin to see an isolated storm with lightning develop. It's not going to be a widespread threat today. I think we'll see a little less activity on the radar compared to what we saw yesterday. Still, there will be some scattered thunderstorms popping up, especially once we get past about 3 o'clock. It'll be more isolated before that. But by 5 o'clock, you can see scattered storms. Again, the best chances, similar to yesterday, will be from Raleigh Point south and east. We can't rule out a storm, though, in our northern counties today. It's just a little better chance in the southern half of our viewing area. And once we get to sunset tonight, things should quickly quiet down. I don't think that this is going to last into late tonight, the way it looks right now. Satellite showing a lot of the clouds out there, mainly from Raleigh points north and east. And boy, it's provided some shade, helped out with temperatures so far today, not as hot as the past several days. Still, it is humid. So even though it's 85 degrees and only 85 compared to the 90s we've been in at this time for the past several days. Feels like 91 in the Triangle, feeling like 93 in Fayetteville, 93 the heat index in Clinton, as well as Goldsboro. I'll have a closer look at your weekend forecast. We've updated rain chances coming up in the next 10 minutes. And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, we want to take you out to Wall Street. Take a look at this. The Dow down 441 points this afternoon. The stocks have been down in the red all day long this morning. They were down about 150 points. Now we're monitoring this 442 down for the Dow. This is after a better than expected jobs data, increased anxiety around the state of the economy and the path of interest rates. A lot of people are worried that the interest rates will go up again. Taking a look across the board here, the S&P 500 also down about 50 points this afternoon. NASDAQ down 168 points.
Michelle, thanks for that. The FDA is expected to decide today on granting full approval to the first prescription drug proven to slow the progression of Alzheimer's in some patients. Leqembi received accelerated approval in January, but has not been widely used. Full approval would likely prompt the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services to change how it covers the drug, broadening access for up to about 1 million people with early onset Alzheimer's. Without insurance, it costs more than $26,000 a year.
Today, the State Board of Elections will consider certifying a new voting system for upcoming elections. This is video from a demonstration of the software last week. It's designed to prepare, cast, and count ballots and includes ballot tabulators, marking devices, and election management computers. A spokesperson for a certified voting system testing laboratory says the system meets the requirements of the state. The GOP-led legislature is likely to overturn three new vetoes issued by Governor Cooper. The governor vetoed the so-called Parents' Bill of Rights. It would force teachers or other school employees to out transgender children to their parents, even if the student opposes it. He also vetoed a bill that would ban schools from allowing trans girls to play girls' sports from middle school through college. And the governor vetoed a bill banning doctors from providing medical care to transgender people under the age of 18, such as puberty blockers or surgery, even if the parents approve. Mark Zuckerberg's new app Threads went live last night. It's supposed to be a direct challenger to Elon Musk's Twitter.
More than 23 people have already signed up since yesterday. And Aaron McLaughlin tells us what some are saying about it.
This morning, the highly anticipated rival platform to Twitter is now live. Facebook and Instagram's parent company, Meta, launching Threads overnight. The new text-based app arriving a day earlier than expected.
Kind of looks like this right now. It looks like a mashup of like Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.
Overnight, founder Mark Zuckerberg announcing Threads reached 10 million signups in its first 7 hours. Celebrities from Oprah to Kim Kardashian to Jennifer Lopez already joining the app that looks fairly similar to Twitter. The launch coming just days after Twitter announced limits on its app, including how many posts users can read per day. The changes led by controversial billionaire Elon Musk.
I'll say what I want to say, and if the consequence of that is losing money, so be it.
Meta describing its vision as creating positive and creative space to express ideas, leveraging Instagram's more than 2 billion users. Posts on the app can be up to 500 characters long, with links, photos, and videos up to 5 minutes. Content creator Drex Lee, who makes money as an influencer on Instagram, received early access to Threads.
What grade do you give it so far?
Everything has been running pretty smoothly.
But reaction has not all been positive. Some users taking to Twitter calling Threads chaotic and reporting glitches. The biggest concern, the newsfeed's algorithm.
I don't want a discovery feed. I don't want to see what's trending. I just want to follow my friends. That's it.
Users waiting to see what both apps and both billionaires do next.
Elon Musk has challenged Mark Zuckerberg to an actual fight. But right now we're getting to see it. Kind of on this great public stage.
That was Aaron McLaughlin reporting, and Threads launched with some features that give users the ability to self-moderate, like hiding specific words and phrases. Threads also appears to be primarily mobile experience. It can be seen on desktop if a user navigates to a specific user profile or has a link, but there appears to be no way for a user to see their main feed.
Honda is recalling more than 124,000 vehicles over a potential problem with the brakes. The vehicles have a loose fastener that connects the brake booster and the brake master cylinder, which could cause the brakes to not work properly. The models include some newer Civics, Ridgelines, Passports, and Pilots, as well as 2020 Acura MDX vehicles. Affected owners will receive a letter about the recall, and you can get your vehicle repaired free of charge at any Honda dealership.
A portable charger caught on fire on a commercial flight, sending flight attendants to the hospital. Five on Your Side says these chargers are now being recalled by the Consumer Product Safety Commission. They were sold on Amazon.com from July of 2021 through May of this year. If you have one of these chargers, stop using it immediately and contact the company for a refund. We'll put those details on WRL.com. Just search recall. Cumberland County Animal Shelter is full and it needs help finding homes for pets. All adoption fees are now waived. Cats, kittens, and large dogs are free. The animals do, however, have to be at least 6 months old. The shelter is open Monday through Friday from 11 to 5:30 and Saturday from 1 to 5. Meantime, next at noon, Russian missile strikes killed civilians in one of the safest Ukrainian cities. The response expected after the most destructive attack since the war began.
Also, changes are coming to the U.S. citizen test, how the new version will evaluate English-speaking abilities.
Plus, the Secret Service continues to try to sniff out the cocaine culprit at the White House. The focus of that investigation now.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
Here's a live look at Carolina Beach. Those morning showers have pushed off and looks like a pretty nice day there at the beach. You're watching WRL News, available on Spectrum and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. Five people were killed during a Russian missile strike in the western Ukrainian city of Lviv.
It's being called the biggest attack on the city's civilian infrastructure since the war began last year. NBC's Kelly Cobier reports from Ukraine.
Rescue crews were searching throughout the day at the site of this four-story apartment building at the heart of Lviv, that western city in Ukraine, hit by three missiles overnight. The Ukrainian military say that 10 missiles in all were fired at around 1 o'clock in the morning from Russian positions in the Black Sea, initially heading straight north, then taking a sharp turn to the west and heading for Lviv. Seven of them were shot down, but three sadly fell, one of them striking that apartment building in the heart of the city center. The city's mayor said that in some cases, roofs were completely blown off homes in that apartment building. Dozens of apartments and homes completely destroyed, cars destroyed as well, windows blown out in neighboring buildings. And because it happened at 1 o'clock in the morning, many people were still sleeping. There's a shelter nearby, but a regional official said that only five people were in that shelter after the air raid siren sounded. President Zelensky responding to this attack, saying that there will be a strong response from Ukraine. Ukraine calling this yet another war crime, saying this was clearly a strike on a civilian area. No comment yet from the Russian Ministry of Defense. Kelly Kobieya, NBC News, Kyiv, Ukraine.
That attack comes as Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky is visiting Bulgaria for talks on security and defense support with Bulgarian leaders.
Firefighters from around the world are in Canada to help fight the wildfires burning there. Firefighters from South Africa are lending a hand as Canada fights the worst wildfire season they've ever seen. Those helping out in Alberta say fighting these fires is different from what they deal with back home.
The fires from Canada, they are totally different from South African fires. Mainly the underground fires, they are not familiar with us.
There are currently 638 fires burning in Canada. 333 of them are considered to be out of control. And so far, a record 34,000 square miles of the country have burned.
Deaths from residential fires have increased by 8% from 2012 to 2021. Those stats, combined with the fact that wildfire season is underway across much of the West, prompted engineers to look for new ways to keep people safe. Marianne Rafferty reports on the unique fire drone that could provide life-saving relief.
Whether they're residential or wild, fires are powerful and deadly. But engineers in Switzerland hope their fire drone will save lives while gathering critical data about these infernos. While some fire departments are already using drones to drop flame retardant in hard-to-reach places, many aren't built to be near flames.
Normal drones that one can buy are made of plastic. The motors are at the periphery, and the propellers and everything can melt very quickly.
But the fire drone is.
We use aerogel, so it's a polyamide aerogel, which is something that is extremely lightweight and it has a very high heat resistance. We've integrated a CO2 cartridge that can cool down the internals of the drone, where also then the motors are located.
Because of this, the fire drone can fly through flames, lasting in temperatures near 400 degrees for about 10 minutes. It's a prototype, so engineers hope to increase that time in the future. And while the drone is flying through a burning building or forest, cameras are monitoring for people and collecting stats on the flames.
It has a thermal camera and it has an RGB camera and could have also other sensors such as oxygen and gas sensors, toxicity sensors and so on that can then get information on the structure of the environment.
That was Marianne Rafferty reporting. And just like first aid kits are placed around offices and warehouses in the future, engineers hope to have fire drones in similar locations ready to go in case of emergency.
So useful. Well, turning to weather now, we have a mix of sun and clouds out there, and the temperature's 85. That's feeling nice compared to what we've had before.
I know this is practically cool compared to what we had earlier this week. We had highs in the mid-90s for several days. We may struggle to hit the 90-degree mark in some places today. A lot of that thanks to the cloud cover that we saw early in the day. We're starting to see some thinning of the clouds, though. In Durham, you can see a lot more sunshine over the DBAP. They've got a game tonight. Bark in the Park was a big success there last night. Luckily, Durham didn't see the rain that we saw in Raleigh yesterday. 85 in Durham right now, 85 at the WRAL Gardens. They got a big drink of water yesterday from the storms. And Fayetteville looking good as well at the WRAL Fayetteville Newsroom. 85 degrees in Fayetteville this afternoon. If you're headed to the pool this afternoon, just keep an eye out for some dark clouds in the distance. Early in the afternoon, it's only a 30% chance of a storm. But closer to dinner time tonight, that's when storm chances climb to around 40%. So before you grill out tonight, check in on our evening newscast on WRAL, and we'll let you know where the storms are on the dual Doppler 5000 radar. And hopefully that can help you out before you fire up the grill. Otherwise, it's a warm evening, but not as hot as it's been, still as humid as it's been. Satellite and radar showing some showers developing toward the mountains and the foothills, and the showers earlier this morning that we saw in parts of Sampson County, the coast, those are moving offshore, and we're going to be watching for some new development in central North Carolina a bit later on this evening. Your weekend forecast features a chance for storms each day. Some days that chance is better than others. I will say this, I've been looking over some new model data that's just starting to come in. We may need to bump up tomorrow's storm chances from 30 to 40%, and we may need to bump up Sunday's rain chances a bit. Saturday, I think we're still in good shape with a 40% chance of storms. Keep in mind, most of the rain and storms each day this weekend would come later in the day. So if you need to do something outside, the earlier you can get it done, the better off you'll be. That way you can beat the heat and the storms. If you're headed to the beach for the weekend tomorrow, we do have a chance for some scattered storms. The best chances would be at our southern beaches, the chance a little bit lower toward the Outer Banks. And on Saturday, a chance of a thunderstorm as well, but that chance not as high on Saturday compared to tomorrow. Nags Head and Ocracoke, just about a 20% chance of a storm there. The rip current forecast at beaches today is low, but check in for updates as we get closer to the weekend, especially after last weekend was so active with over 300 rescues. Your 7-day forecast really heating up tomorrow, 94 the forecast high. The weekend highs hover around 90. As we get toward the middle of next week, we may see a brief period of some drier air move in. I don't think it's going to have a big impact on the humidity, but it should help to lower storm chances a bit. Renee and Jeff.
Kat, thank you. Local police are seeing a disturbing trend. Untraceable ghost guns bought online with no background checks are being used to commit crimes.
We were seeing them maybe once or twice a year to seeing them now once or twice a week.
Tonight at 6, WRL investigates the rise in our area and the problems it's creating for police.
You might have the convenience of a robotic vacuum at your home, but have you ever thought about a robotic mop? We're going to tell you what they do and if they're worth the price just ahead.
And still ahead this noon, it's been 15 years since the U.S. updated its citizenship test, but changes are on the way. Why some say those updates could hurt those people who are looking for a better life in the U.S.
Plus, let the celebration begin. One of the biggest festivals in Spain kicks off in a matter of minutes. How spectators are preparing for the running of the bulls.
Student loan borrowers will get some leeway under a new plan, and JetBlue is ending a partnership. Those are among today's business headlines with Maribel Aber.
Meta just launched Threads, a messaging app to compete directly against Twitter. Threads is now available to download free on Apple's App Store and Google Play. Users can post short messages as well as like, comment, and share messages. Meta says Threads surpassed 5 million signups within the first 4 hours after it was launched last night. The Facebook and Instagram parent is looking to capitalize on the unrest at Twitter following its purchase by Elon Musk late last year. JetBlue says it will end its partnership with American Airlines that allowed the carriers to share revenue and coordinate schedules in the Northeast. The move comes after a federal judge ruled the agreement was anti-competitive. JetBlue says it will not challenge the ruling. Instead, it will focus its efforts on its deal to buy Spirit Airlines. The Justice Department has sued to block that merger. American said last month that it planned to go ahead and challenge the ruling against the partnership with JetBlue. The Biden administration plans to give people restarting student loan payments some leeway for a 12-month period from October 1st through the end of next September. Borrowers who miss payments will not be considered delinquent. They will also not be reported to credit bureaus, placed in default, or referred to a debt collection agency. The administration is calling it an on-ramp to repayment, but interest will be accruing on loans during the 12-month period. And those are your business headlines. I'm Maribel Aber at the NASDAQ Market Site.
Some Spotify users may be at risk of losing their premium accounts. The music streaming service is no longer accepting payments from users who subscribe to its premium option through the Apple App Store. Spotify says its decision to cut off those payments is an objection to Apple's tax on purchases in its store. The report says users affected by the change received an email stating their subscription will end after the final billing period.
New changes to the U.S. citizenship test are coming soon. In the current test, an applicant's English speaking ability is tested by the immigration officer asking them personal questions. A new version of the test that adds a speaking section where applicants would be asked to describe photos in English. Immigration advocates worry the new test could hurt those who have low English skill levels. We've been telling you about delays for passports. Now the estimated time to receive a new one is 10 to 13 weeks. You could reduce that time, but you'd have to pay an extra $60. The State Department says it doesn't expect to be back at pre-pandemic processing times until the end of the year. Part of this is due to a surge in demand, with more than 500,000 applications being received weekly.
Cocaine found in the White House. How the Secret Service hopes to get to the bottom of where the illegal drugs came from.
Plus, the city of brotherly love is suing the makers of ghost guns after a man carries out a deadly mass shooting. First, here's a look at the winning lottery numbers.
Shot in 4K ultra-high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Who brought illegal drugs into the White House? It's one of the biggest questions plaguing the Secret Service.
Caroline Shively reports agents are going through visitor logs, surveillance video, and relying on the analysis of the bag itself to try to advance their investigation.
going to get to the bottom to exactly what happened.
The Secret Service ordering DNA and fingerprint testing on the small bag of cocaine that was found inside the White House. The drugs were discovered Sunday inside a cubby where visitors often leave their personal belongings. President Biden and his family were at Camp David at the time. The White House now checking visitor logs while pointing out the drugs were found in a heavily traveled lobby area.
West Wing visitors come through this particular area.
President Biden ignoring a question about the discovery in the Oval Office Wednesday. Meanwhile, some Republicans are demanding a Secret Service briefing, looking for more details into who the drugs belong to. Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton sending a letter to the Secret Service asking for answers, saying, quote, if the White House complex is not secure, Congress needs to know the details, as well as your plan to correct any security flaws. 2024 candidates also taking the chance to go after the Biden administration in the wake of the discovery.
I can tell you in Florida, my wife and I, we have a 6'5 and a 3-year-old running around the governor's mansion. So that's not something that we see.
All joking aside, if you really get to the seriousness of this, it's just one more yet another example of two standards of law in this country. Mm. Now it shows up in the White House and it's a laughing matter.
Well,
in a certain sense, it's just evidence of a deeper problem.
Ms. Caroline Shively reporting. Politico says a law enforcement source suggests it'll be difficult even with surveillance cameras to determine who the drugs belong to.
Just a short time ago, Donald Trump's personal aide pleaded not guilty to charges in a federal court in Florida. Walt Nauta faces 6 charges, including obstruction and concealment-related charges, for the alleged mishandling of classified documents. Nauta served as a military valet in the White House and traveled with Trump when he left office. He eventually took the role of Trump's personal aide.
Tonight, we will learn more about what will be included in Rollsville's Main Street corridor. The town plans to develop Main Street and turn it into a true town center. Town staff defines the corridor as any property within 500 feet of the Main Street center line between Highway 401 and Young Street. Town leaders will talk about these plans at their meeting tonight at 7. Raleigh City Council is apologizing to black citizens for its racist past. Leaders unanimously approved a resolution that authorizes city staff to create and fund programs that promote equality. Raleigh joins other cities like Durham and Asheville that have done similar things. The council did not discuss any reparations.
Our county-by-county coverage takes us to Wayne and Orange counties. We begin in Goldsboro, where police want to know how they can better serve residents. A citizen survey will be available during the month of August. Your honest feedback will help them provide the highest level of service. You'll find the survey on the Goldsboro Police Department website starting next month. The Chapel Hill Carborough Board of Education chair is denouncing threats against the staff. During the past school year, a student and parent made verbal threats, social media posts, and numerous emails against Dr. Naya Hamlet. During graduation, the student cursed at administrators, and the father approached the stage. No one was physically hurt. The board statement says they will not tolerate threats or attacks to any staff. We also have a traffic alert for drivers in Chapel Hill. Construction begins on MLK Junior Boulevard. Crews will shut down one lane in each direction on the road at Estes Drive. Work begins tonight at 7. It should wrap up tomorrow morning at 6.
A man charged with a mass shooting in Philadelphia Monday says he carried out the attack to clean up the neighborhood. The victims who died were between 15 years of age and 59. Two boys, ages 2 and 13, were shot in the legs and are recovering. John Lawrence reports the attack comes as city officials take legal action against two ghost gun suppliers. As a warning, this story contains graphic video that some viewers may find disturbing.
Philadelphia residents still in shock after city officials say Kim Brady Carricker went on a, quote, deliberate killing spree Monday.
Some maniac walking around, just shooting. For what? We probably would never know why, you know, but you took my son. You took my baby.
Officials say both of the guns found with the 40-year-old suspect were so-called ghost guns, which are weapons that are manufactured privately and untraceable.
You can take these guns through magnetometers without being detected. So this is like a level of insanity that no one should ever deal with.
The city of Philadelphia has filed a lawsuit against Polymer 80 Incorporated and JSD Supply Incorporated, which authorities say are major ghost gun suppliers.
These companies even want to go around the bare minimum regulations and be able to sell this stuff by mail to anyone without a background check and without a serial number on the gun.
Buyers of these weapons are often those who can't legally buy a firearm, such as minors or felons, according to the city's press release. There have been at least 359 mass shootings in the U.S. thus far this year, according to data from the Gun Violence Archive.
It was John Lawrence reporting. The Gun Violence Archive considers a mass shooting an incident where at least four people are shot, not including the shooter.
Coming up, a terrible construction accident in Japan involving a bridge girder. What investigators say may be to blame that left two workers dead.
Plus, how safe is the water flowing from your faucets? The new study that reveals the concerning chemicals in tap water and why they're bad for your health.
Welcome back. The extreme heat in California appears to be responsible for the death of a 65-year-old man from San Diego. His body was found in a car in Death Valley National Park. Park officials say the vehicle had two flat tires and an air conditioning system that didn't work. Authorities believe a heat-related illness could have forced the driver to run off the road. He was dead at the scene. The day before he was discovered, the temperature in that area hit 126 degrees. Two New Jersey firefighters died while battling a fire on a ship in Port Newark, and several others were hurt. Authorities say 5 to 7 cars erupted in flames on the 11th and 12th floors of the vehicle cargo ship last night. The heat got so intense, firefighters had to push back, and that's when two didn't make it out safely. The ship was carrying about 5,000 vehicles. It took firefighters until early Thursday morning to put out the blaze.
Two workers were killed and six others were injured in an accident at a construction site in Japan. A 140-ton bridge girder fell at that structure that has been under construction since last year. About 20 workers were working at the time of the accident. Police are investigating it. Officers believe professional negligence may be the cause. In Madrid, Spain, millions of people are celebrating the start of the bull running festival. The first bull running is tomorrow and is repeated for 8 days. Adrenaline junkies line up to run with the bulls along that route, and then precisely 8 a.m., six fighting bulls are released into the street. The run usually lasts less than 4 minutes, but it is quite a spectacle every year.
It's a packaging predicament, why the government is ordering several cannabis companies to ditch current labels.
Well, stay out of the heat, stay hydrated. That's the message from health experts. But a new study found something sinister that could be lurking in your faucet.
Happening right now in the WREL Live Center, we are following some breaking news out of Texas this afternoon. This just in, the teenager who was allegedly missing for 8 years, police have just come out and said he was home the entire time. They say that he had been living with his mother almost the entire time. Rudy Farias made national headlines over the weekend when it was reported he had been located safe in Houston after a years-long search. He was reported missing in March of 2015, but police say he came home 1 day later. They just came out and said this. They say that he was found at a church roughly 8 miles from his family's home. He was nonverbal. A nonprofit search and rescue service helped search and find him. Again, police saying right now they know that he has been at home with his mother the entire time.
Such a revelation and a lot of questions. As a result, one in four adults in America still had not caught COVID-19 by the end of last year. A new CDC report reveals that about 77% did have antibodies from at least one prior infection. The figures are based on the agency's final study of antibodies in Americans ages 16 and up. Researchers also found young people ages 16 to 29 had the highest percentage of natural antibodies. Once may not be enough when it comes to making sure you don't have COVID-19. Researchers say at-home rapid antigen tests and PCR tests on the samples as a comparison. Out of the 5,300 participants who are asymptomatic and tested negative on day one, more than 150 of them eventually were positive. The team found rapid tests were most accurate after testing three times at 48-hour intervals if patients were asymptomatic and twice at 48-hour intervals for patients who experienced symptoms.
The Federal Trade Commission is calling for cannabis companies to stop selling products with package that closely resembles popular snacks. The agency sent cease and desist letters to six companies. The FTC says the companies use packaging that could trick children into accidentally ingesting Delta 8 THC, a psychoactive substance found in hemp. The FTC says children who ingest THC are likely to get sick or be hospitalized as a result. The companies have 15 days to respond with their planned actions. Marijuana could increase your risk of surgery complications. Researchers in Texas say complications include blood clots, stroke, breathing issues, even death. Previous studies found smoking marijuana impacts blood flow to the brain and body, contributes to airway blockages, and raises blood pressure and heart rate. This can make recovery from surgery more difficult.
It's important to stay hydrated during these hot summer days, but a new study is shedding light on what could be lurking in our tap water. Gary Baumgarten shares the disturbing findings.
Water is just water, right? Wrong. According to a new study from the U.S. Geological Survey, drinking water from roughly half of all faucets nationwide likely contain PFAS, commonly referred to as forever chemicals.
PFAS are an acronym for per- and polyfluoroalkylated substances.
The synthetic compounds are near impossible to break down. They've been widely used in many non-stick cooking products, various food packaging, clothing, and more. And over time, they've been seeping into the environment, as well as private and public water systems, especially if companies using PFAS deposit them into wastewater.
They don't break down for a really long time. And in terms of some of these in the environment, it could be years to hundreds of years.
And if the chemicals are ingested by people,
it may take 10 years almost to remove half of what you've been exposed to.
They can carry potentially deadly consequences.
It can cause like cancer. It can cause immunity problems. It can cause liver problems. It can cause kidney problems.
That was Gary Baumgarten reporting. The study from the U.S. Geological Survey examined water samples from taps in more than 700 different locations. Samples were taken between 2016 and 2021 with higher amounts of PFAS found in cities. Officials hope these results will encourage people to treat their drinking water and have it tested if they're concerned.
Super important, especially with how hot it's been around here recently. We're going to take a turn, though, now. Kent Campbell is in the WRO Severe Weather Center with an update to the hurricane forecast.
Yeah, we just got this update in a few hours ago from Colorado State University. If you're wondering, Colorado State University, of course, they're not on the coast susceptible to hurricanes, but they've got a great meteorology program over there, and they have a lot of researchers that specialize in tropical forecasting. And the updated forecast increases the forecast for named storms from 15 in the previous forecast this season up to 18 named storms now. And I do want to mention this number right here does include the storms that we've already had this season. Nine hurricanes in the forecast this year. The average is seven. And four major hurricanes is what Colorado State University is forecasting, up from the average of three. Luckily, right now, the tropics are quiet. We've got a lot of Saharan dust in the central Atlantic, and that should keep things quiet for us for at least the next week. So the big story out there today is the humidity and the storms. The heat today, not as bad as it's been in the previous days. It's still hot, high temperatures near 90. But the cloud cover that we've seen the first half of the day, helping to keep those numbers down, just a touch today. It still feels steamy, though, with the humidity. 89 in Smithfield, 91 degrees in Fayetteville and Southern Pines, 90 degrees this afternoon in Sanford. The muggy meter today, it's all the way at the top. Tropical, 73 degrees is our dew point. And remember, the higher that number is, the more moisture there is in the atmosphere. And that's why it feels quite sticky out there today. Definitely feeling like summer. The maximum heat index that we could see today We may stay out of the triple digits for the first time this week in the Triangle, 101 in Fayetteville. 96 is the potential heat index in Rocky Mount. The weekend, though, quite steamy. 94 tomorrow, low 90s Saturday and Sunday. And when you factor in the high humidity and the dew points in the 70s, we are likely to see a heat index back in the triple digits. Though, given the new data, it looks less likely we'd get to that 105 number that would spark a heat advisory needing to be issued. So it's still going to be hot, not quite to that heat advisory criteria, though. Dog walking forecast for the afternoon. It stays pretty hot out there. If you can, go ahead and get the dog walk in now. I would. I think thunderstorm chances are better a little later on this evening. And then if you want to hold off until later on tonight, that way you can beat some of the heat. And hopefully those storms die down after about 8, 9 o'clock. Outside, we've seen a few very small showers today on the Dual Doppler 5000 radar. I don't think that the radar will be quite as active this afternoon as it was yesterday, but there is about a 40% chance of a thunderstorm. So we're still going to see some scattered storms later this afternoon into the evening. 94 tomorrow. It's the hottest day on our 7-day forecast. Once we get to early next week, we start unsettled on Monday, but we could see a little drier air return and lower rain chances Tuesday and Wednesday. Renee and Jeff.
Kat, sorry for all the commotion during your weather. We got a friend. We have a friend.
You're looking live at Hampton Beach in New Hampshire, and we can't get over this good-looking bird.
Hey, buddy. That's awesome. I can't believe that's New Hampshire. It looks like one of our beaches on the coast.
It's enjoying the sun there.
All right, we'll continue animal time. Vanilla the chimp. You remember this one? Went viral after seeing the sun for the first time in nearly three decades. Well, we have an update on her new digs. And a look at the winning Powerball number, 17, 24, 48, 62, 68. Powerball is 23, the power play is 2. No one matched all five numbers last night, so the jackpot grows to $590 million.
As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today. Durham police arrested a man in connection with a shooting that killed a 5-year-old girl and critically hurt a 15-year-old girl. 42-year-old Brian Lester faces first-degree murder and attempted murder charges. The shooting happened on North Guthrie Avenue. There will be a community vigil for the victims at 5 p.m. downtown at the Bulls Plaza.
Today, the State Board of Elections will consider certifying a new voting system for upcoming elections. This is video from a demonstration of the software last week. It's designed to prepare, cast, and count ballots and includes ballot tabulators, marking devices, and election management computers. A certified voting system testing laboratory spokesperson says the system meets state requirements.
The Raleigh City Council is apologizing to black citizens for its racist past. Leaders unanimously approved a resolution that authorizes Raleigh City staff to create and fund programs that promote equality. The council did not discuss any reparations. 83 acres of farmland in rural Chapel Hill is being transformed into a one-of-a-kind healing space and sanctuary for animals and youth. Located 15 minutes from downtown, Beautiful Together Animal Sanctuary will be ready to welcome its first animals this fall. The finished site will include a full-service veterinary clinic and surgical center, fields of open space for rescued dogs and cats, a horse ranch, hiking trails, training centers, and workshops for youth. You can learn more about the people behind Beautiful Together and their mission by finding this story on WORL.com.
The chimp who saw the sky for the first time in a video that went viral is now thriving at a Florida sanctuary. Vanilla the chimp was born in a biomedical lab in New York and was the subject of medical studies. She arrived at Save the Chimps a year ago, and after months of rehabilitation, she was integrated with her new family. It was only then that she saw the sky for the first time in 28 years. Vanilla's new home is one of the world's largest chimpanzee sanctuaries. She's one of 227 chimpanzees who call the sanctuary home.
That look of wonder. Mm. Our pet of the day comes to us from the SPCA of Wake County. Palmer is a 3-year-old spayed female cat. She's a social butterfly who loves to be petted on the head. Palmer is also a diabetic, but you never have to worry about chasing her down for her shot. She comes to you. Palmer doesn't know what windows are just yet, so she likes to paw at them furiously as if she will one day make it through to the other side. You can visit spcawake.org to learn more about Palmer. NBC News Daily is next on WRAL, your next local news in 30 minutes.
You get breaking news updates anytime with our WRAL News app. Have a great day.
WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.